Shabbat Shalom and welcome everyone. I promise, if you get to know me, you'll really love me. It's so ironic because I got three closings to today's message as well. It's just, you know, Jim and I just think alike sometimes. It's crazy. Oh, man. Wow, that was pretty powerful.
Yes.
From the opening prayer right through worship.
Amen.
And today's a special day. And every Shabbat's a special day, but today's a special day because some people are doing Shabbat and it may not be your normal thing, and that's okay. Because we're here to honor the Creator and to honor Mark Dickerman. And a lot of you right now are wondering why I have all these microphones up there. And I thought I wanted to experience what it would be like if I was doing a press conference in the White House. Come on, man. You know, four score and yeah, come on. You know the thing, man. Come on. So anyway, sorry. I don't need them anymore. I was just, you know, short-lived. I'm going to put them down. So I do want to say welcome to all of our guests, family members that have flown in, and guests. And we have a lot of people here that we've seen before, but you live far enough away, you can't make it here every week. It's just a real honor for you to be here. And it is my hope and my prayer that each and every person that's a regular at the House of Scripture would extend to you guys kindness, gentleness, and a smile and love like Mark shared with everybody he met for the first time. So I hope you'll enjoy this time together. And if Rhonda hasn't shared with you, this entire month is dedicated to messages that are inspired by Mark. And so we don't come to glorify Mark, but we come to remember all the things that he poured into us that helped us become better people and better followers of the Messiah. Amen. So the first message, which was 2 weeks ago, was God has always been love, you know, because I used to think, well, the God of the Old Testament is mean and ornery, and the God of the New Testament is all love. And we talked about that, and it was basically a lot of things that Mark had shared with us over the years that got us to see that a little more clearly. Last week, we talked about what is sanctification, like Jim mentioned, and we correlated it to the life of Esther, the queen who was living in exile. So as we come into this week, I was stumped on what I was going to teach on. And you know, it's one that I've got a million memories of Mark. And tonight, if Rhonda hadn't reined me in, I could have talked for an hour and a half. She's like, no, other people are going to talk. Oh, okay. But the message has got to be about the Creator, because the Shabbat is about him.
That's right.
And the Shabbat is holy in the heavenlies, and it's an option for us here. Now, it's not an option if you want to please the Father, but it's an option for us to sanctify the Shabbat, and that's what we're doing today. So I hope you'll understand that although I'm going to mention Mark quite a bit in this message, it's all about honoring the Creator that he served. Amen?
Amen.
So I was thinking about Mark a lot this week, and I thought about this title, and we're going to talk about the characteristics of a true Christian. And I had to put the word true in there, because you do realize that almost 2 billion people on planet Earth call themselves Christians. And for those of you who knew Mark really, really well, you'd know that sometimes he would prefer to use different terms, like an Israelite, or just a follower of Yeshua, the Messiah. But a Christian, in the truest sense of the word, in the definition of what it really means, is a follower of Christ, a follower of Messiah. But of the 2 billion people professing Christianity, not all follow. So I thought we'll talk about this topic because I think the points that I'm going to bring up today, you will clearly see that Mark fulfilled quite well. See, Mark understood that an Israelite was someone who was part of the family of God. See, I memorized Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 when I was about 10 years old, and I didn't know there was a verse 10, 11, 12, and 13. I had those two verses down pat, but they clearly show us in the Scriptures that at one time, being born as Gentiles outside of the covenant, we were lost and without hope and had no promise in the promises of God. But through Yeshua and through faith in him and following him, we were heirs to those promises, and we would become children of God and not stepchildren. Amen. And that's what Mark understood. So I don't want to get into word semantics today, but a true Christian is an Israelite.
Amen.
And a true Israelite is a Christian. And Mark understood this very well. He knew that in the Hebrew context, which, by the way, that's what our Bibles were written in, it was in a Hebrew land, to a Hebrew people, in a Hebrew culture, in a Hebrew language. So why do we want to throw all the Hebrew out of it? It makes no sense. But he understood, and Mark would be first to tell you, you can't believe if you don't follow. So believing in Jesus, Yeshua, and if you don't follow him, that just doesn't make sense. Now here in America, it makes perfect sense because it's just what we've been taught. And I'm not going to really get into that side of it. I'm going to focus on Mark and how he illustrated this in his life. And I want you to understand something crystal clear from the get-go. We are two things. We're not putting Mark on this pedestal of perfection. And number two, nobody that is flesh and bones can ever be perfect.
Amen.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a heart to follow our Messiah and our Creator. One of the things that Mark talked about very often was the fact that we had to understand the need for repenting, for apologizing, to doing whatever it took to make things right. He did a teaching that was about when Jacob had to come back and confront Esau. And many of you that have been here remember that teaching. And he focused on the fact that when Jacob got before Esau, he appeased Esau. He didn't repent. He just came in and, you know, gave him a bunch of gifts and bowed down to him and said, "My Lord," and he did all the appeasing things so that he could lie to him one more time and move on to Shechem. And Mark used that opportunity to illustrate that that is not the perfect will of the Father. The Father wants you to appease after you've repented. And appease really is better rendered as make things right. If you've wronged somebody, you need to make it right. But you have to repent first. Without repentance, there is no forgiveness of sin. And Mark understood this clearly. So let's check out what I've labeled as, I think I wrote seven of them down. If we get to six and that's it, then we'll just have another closing, okay? These are characteristics of a true Christian, meaning someone who not only professes Messiah Yeshua, but also follows him. Number one, a true Christian walks in the light of Messiah Yeshua. Our style and our life must be conformed to what God has revealed to us about his nature and his will. Did you hear that? Nobody. Jim, at least you're getting like one. I mean, okay, I'm going to read it again because I think some of you, you know, like, is there a game going on today? I don't know. Our style of life must be conformed to what God has revealed to us about his nature and his will.
Amen.
Amen. I got four people on board. See, when mankind got off track, a loving God sent the prophets over and over again to try to get us back on track. You know, oh, they're messing up again, and he sent a prophet. Too many times they killed the prophet, and he would send another prophet. But he sent a prophet to get them back on track because he loves us that much.
Amen.
2,000 years ago, God sent the prophet of all prophets. It was the prophet that Moses had prophesied about. He said, when this prophet comes, you have to listen to him. And if you don't, you're going to have to give an account for it. But see, the word listen in Hebrew is to hear, to pay attention to, and to follow, to obey. Without all three, it's an incomplete. It's not even a possibility in Hebrew thought. So Mark understood this, and he shared many of these little details of the Hebrew language with us, along with Rhonda. And there was a blessing to us. When Yeshua came as the prophet of all prophets, he did many things for many people. And to try to limit what he did to three things is almost insane, but I'm going to do it anyway. One, he died for our sins. He came, he was the Passover lamb. He was the one that died, that without the blood of his sacrifice covering our hearts, our sins, our minds, without us repenting and turning to him, we cannot be restored to the Father.
Amen.
It's the only way to the kingdom. And he came and he did that for us. But that's what he did as he died. Was the rest of his life nothing more than just being a good person? I don't think so. Acts 4:12 says, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And that name is Yeshua. Yeshua in Hebrew. We call him Jesus, but Jesus doesn't mean anything. Yeshua means God's salvation, and that's what he came to give us. Number two, he was both a prophet and a teacher. The biggest misconception on all of planet Earth is that he came to teach us a new way. He did not. Amen. He came to restore people who were off track by a corrupt religious system, to restore them back to God's original intent. God's instructions, where Yeshua said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He came to restore that to us, and he taught us crystal clear what we must do. And nobody can tell me that a new doctrine surpasses what Messiah Yeshua said. If he said it, he has to take precedent over every other writer in the New Testament. Amen? Mark learned to love that which the Father loves. And the two things that I think represent that most is his love for the Torah and his love for the land of Israel. And that's why I pulled this poster out. It's just one of the posters we have in the back. He loved Israel. Now, Israel's not perfect. It's got messed up people just like here. There's no place on earth where perfect people exist. We're all a mess in need of transformation. But Israel is the place that God set his name in the holy city of Jerusalem at the Temple Mount. It is the place that he said he's always got his eyes on this place. He's watching over it. It is the place he's going to restore one day to the kingdom for his son to rule and reign from. I mean, that's not happening from New York City, folks. Sorry. A few of you are like, what? Jerusalem is the place he loves. It's the land he loves. And Mark and Rhonda love the land of Israel. We are supposed to live as Yeshua lived, because the third thing he did is he showed us that living a righteous life is not impossible. Yes, it's challenging and it's difficult at times because we have flesh and we grew up with habits and things that distract us. And like the song we just sang, there's so much noise that we struggle at times. But it's not impossible, because a loving Father would never ask you to do something that's impossible. But you know what Yeshua did? And we don't read about every day of his life, but when we read about a lot of his stuff, even Jim texted something out this morning, he got up early in the morning, the very beginning of his day, whatever time it is you get up, the first thing he did was he spent time with the Creator. You know, it's easier to walk a righteous life when your first breath in the morning is about thanking him for another day. Thank you for giving me breath this morning, Father. May my day honor and glorify you. You think he's going to look down? No, I think I'm going to have you defile me today. Of course not. Folks, the first thing you do when you get out of the way, and if you're over 60, you better do it all through the day. Thank you, Father, that I'm alive. Okay? It's a blessing. It's an honor. We're here to bring glory to him. Amen? Amen. Mark understood this. And although he knew that we weren't perfect, he knew that there would be times that we mess up and we fail. You know what we do? You get back up. You brush off your slacks, you get back and you go at it. Amen. The Father used these people in the Bible that ended up in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Everybody, you know, my old church used to call it the Hebrew Hall of Fame, right? You ever heard that? Do you know every single one of those people was a failure of magnitudes that are huge at some point in their life? Not one perfect person. That should give you hope. Gosh, if that didn't get an amen, I'm lost. I don't know. What am I doing here? Mark, you're awesome. All right, let's eat, okay? Mark understood that we had to follow the example that Yeshua lived. And he did it well. Was he perfect? Probably not. But I'll tell you what. Everything I remember about that man was humbleness, meekness, and kindness. And I enjoyed every minute of spending time with Mark. The Apostle John is often looked upon in religious circles as, let's just be honest, he's like the little fruitcake that just laid on Jesus' neck, and you know, we envision him with flowers in his hair and singing hymns and all. But this is the same guy that wrote an epistle, and 1 John chapter 2 is an epistle and a chapter that most Christians won't work, they don't want to read it. So this docile, gentle, loving guy that was very affectionate towards Yeshua wrote this. And this is New Testament, folks. The First John is not in Torah. Whoever says he abides in Yeshua ought to walk in the same way that he walked. Whoa. New Testament, really? See, the Greek word walk is peripateo. And it means this, and I'm going to read it because I don't have the Greek memorized. It means to live like, to regulate one's life, and to conduct yourself as who? Yeshua. If you claim to be in him, you must walk like him. See, if you claim to be in him and you're not walking like him, there's a disconnect. Mark understood this. And although I'm not trying to make Mark out to be perfect, Mark walked in a way, in a manner that I imagine brought honor to Yeshua. The question arises with the doctrine that we most of us have inherited throughout time. Why would you profess faith in someone you have no desire to follow? Think about that. Because billion plus people follow that mantra. Why would you profess faith in someone you have no desire to follow? Mark knew that to believe is to follow, and he left a great example for us. Test number two, our lives should be marked by sensitivity to sin and repentance when we do sin. See, you know, I'm not standing here before you saying that you can live the rest of your life sin-free. What I am saying is you should wake up each morning with the intent in your heart to live sin-free. Sin is forgiven when repentance takes place. Without repentance, the Father has no legal grounds to forgive. You see, we think of him that he's this creator of heaven and earth. He can do whatever he wants, but he's constrained by his own word. And his word says that if you don't forgive others, I cannot forgive you. Don't think that it doesn't break his heart, because it does. Mark would often repent for things, and I'd look at him like, man, you don't need to apologize. That's no big deal. But he wanted to be clean before the Father. It would be little, something small in his eyes, and we just blow it off. But for him, it was important. It was important to make sure that he didn't offend, and he didn't have somebody take it the wrong way. See, we as Most High God believers, we need to learn a lesson from John and the life that Mark lived out. We need to be aware of our sin. We need to be constantly repenting if we do sin, and we need to be turning 180 degrees. See, the true word of repentance means sin's that direction, God's this direction. You turn right around and you walk the other way. Test number three, a true Christian keeps God's commands. Oh boy, I had to bring that one up, huh? See, a lot of people don't like that statement. It's often frowned upon in religious circles. I got some good news. This is not a religious circle. Amen? John 14, 15. Yeshua said this. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I had somebody look at me one time. Well, that's just New Testament commandments. Those are Jesus's. All the other stuff belongs to the Father. I scratched my head really hard. I think I was bleeding by the time that ended. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I said, the same guy, John, that wrote this, in the very first chapter, he opens up, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing in the world was created without him. He created everything. Amen. He was the Word, the Logos, the spoken Word. Mount Sinai, when it was spoken, that was Yeshua. Amen. That was Jesus. Amen. Everything that he spoke. So when he gave those commandments, that was Jesus, Yeshua. And then Yeshua himself, he comes down to earth to redeem us, to mankind, and teach us. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments.
That's right.
Mark understood this. This is a good example to all of us. He felt, as most of us do, that the instructions of God do apply to us today. And we come to understand, after you make that commitment to actually following God's instructions, you come to realize one thing really quick. Within a couple months, it's not that hard. It's not that hard. Mark embraced the ease of doing this because he understood two things. When you follow the instructions of God and you wrap it up into two sums, like Yeshua said, the two things that define everything in God's instructions is how to properly love the Creator, the way he wants to be. Now, don't tell me how you want to worship him. The way he wants to be worshiped. And how to love your neighbor as yourself. every instruction. Treat your neighbor with respect. Feed the poor. Take care of them. Don't charge interest to your brother. These are all how you're to properly love your neighbor. And all this other stuff that I didn't want to do for 50-some years is things that God says, if you really want to worship me, this is how you do it. It's up to you. But here's the instruction manual. Just A, B, C. You just go right through the list. It's simple. Mark showed me the true joy of some of these things. And at the very beginning, I was like, oh, really? We're going to go celebrate for 8 days away somewhere? And then we get there and we're like, wow, this is awesome. You know, can I throw my cell phone in the lake? This would be even better. Mark was awesome. He is great. Test number four, true Christian loves other Christians. But the problem is Christians are people. Sometimes they're hard to love. Am I right or is it just me? Mark loved other people. He loved doing home groups. Anybody ever get to be a part of his home group? You know what he loved most about home groups? It was a small, intimate group where you could get to know each other. And I've only been to maybe one or two with him, I think. I hope. But one of the things that's come back to me from other people, Mark never makes it about him. It's not about, let me share what I know or what... He always makes it about allowing the group to interact, grow, and mature together. And that's not something everybody does easily. When it came to doing events at the House of Scripture, he was always eager to get together as a group. Wasn't he, Rhonda? I mean, and it was always fun. If it was at his house, even better, because he could prep ahead of time. But Mark, you see him coming a mile away. Like we'd go every July 4th to the picnic on the lake. And you see Mark pull up in his car. He gets out. He's got his Crocodile Dundee hat on, right? He's got a cornhole board slung over his shoulder. And he's got a big grin in like, you guys have no chance today. It was infectious, though. It was fun. He was a blast. I'm like, man, could you let us win every once in a while? And I got another story about that later, but... When Mark arrived, he made sure everybody else had a smile on their face. Number five, the test. True Christians always help others grow and mature. They always help others because they realize that this life is not about us. It's not about our personal life, our personal, kingdom. It's always about the kingdom of God. Mark was really pretty good at this. He was patient. And I'm talking about with me. See, I don't always get things right away. I'm stubborn. I'm over 50. I mean, I don't change. When you hit 50, it's like, nope, this is the way I do things. So when Mark saw areas where possibly I could do a little better or things could be, a little more helpful if I went, he would come and he would always be very gentle and he would share, he would say something like this. And most of you who've known him for a while, you'll know this is Mark. Well, have you considered this? And I wouldn't change right away most of the time. But you know what? After he shared what he needed to share, he just let it go and he let the Father do the work. And many of the things that he got me to change on would happen 2, 3, 6 months later. And what those were is not important, but Mark was patient, he was loving, and once he shared with you, then it was up to you. He didn't care because he loved other people and he only shared things when he really felt like it could help you. He was a true brother. He never grew weary. And he probably helped me grow more than most people that I know. He latched onto the idea here that this ministry was not about us or what we can create or what we can do. From the very beginning, we wanted to have the fellowship that we had here and we started with be all about the Father's kingdom. And I think Mark liked that and he got on board. It took a while, but he got on board, and there was a few things that we didn't see eye to eye on, but he didn't come in and tell us what we were doing wrong. Everybody else did. They come in and they 12 minutes in to meet him, hey, it's really a wonderful place here, but if you just do this and change this and Oneg should be first and this is okay, very nice to meet you too. Mark never did that. He just came in, he plugged in, he met people, he smiled, and as he developed relationships, he would offer considerations. I love that about him. His past experiences, the people he knew, was amazing, and he brought us a lot of joy I'm going to miss him. Test number six. True Christians develop an increasing disdain for the world and what the world has to offer.
Amen.
See, Mark understood, as many of us do, that the world is completely and diametrically opposed to the will and the way the Creator wants things to run.
Amen.
Mark understood this, and he used to always talk about the fact that there's chaos in the world, and there's people that are perpetrating this chaos, but the Creator still loves them. See, he hates the chaos, but he loves them anyway. He loves all of them. 1 Peter says that Father would desire for all men to come to the saving knowledge of Yeshua Messiah.
Yes.
Now that sadly is not going to happen, but Mark believed in giving everybody the best chance and loving on them regardless of the junk they brought through the door. He always believed that that junk could be done away with in time if we just loved on them and treated them the way that he felt Yeshua would treat them. As an elder, Mark had to deal with some issues at times. You know, like I said earlier, we have people. So with people come issues. And there were times when Mark would volunteer. You know, if he had a relationship built with somebody, he would volunteer. He'd say, you know, let me handle that one. And I was going like, hallelujah, thank you, take it. But Mark had a way of reproofing you, but somehow you could come away feeling like you won. He just would share things that were critically important for you to hear and understand, but he never tore you down. I think I can speak for a lot of us. We could all do better in that area, myself included. His heart was to help us grow and mature in Messiah Yeshua and achieve victory one day when that time comes. Mark figured out a way to focus on the good in people. I mean, a lot of people, we have wounds. I mean, we come in from all different backgrounds and different places, different religions, some without any religion, some with abuse as children. Everybody on this earth that has not grown up literally in the walk with loving parents that are committed to the covenant, we've all experienced pain and we've experienced hurts and trauma in our life. And Mark figured out a way to focus on the good in people, even if it seemed like their traumas and their hurts and their pains outweighed the good. He just focused on the good. I believe with all my heart it stems from the fact that he loved others as he loved himself. Mark knew the world had nothing to offer us eternally. And his heart was set on eternal things, the kingdom, Israel. There's no doubt that anybody here that knew him for more than a few days understood that he loved his brothers and sisters. Amen?
Amen.
Test number seven. True Christians know that this life is temporary. It's temporary. And these last few weeks have illustrated that fact. And for us down here, I mean, it's challenging. It's hard.
Amen.
But I'm going to give you a very difficult challenge. Psalm 116:15 says that God rejoices in the death of his saints. So for the rest of the day, I'm going to ask you to find a way, even though you miss him, even though you have a little bit of mourning left to do, find a way to rejoice in the things that he brought into your life, the things that he poured into you, the things that he imparted to you that will be with you for the rest of your life. I, for one, am going to try to do that. And we're calling this a celebration because it's not a mourning, it's a celebration of his life. There's no doubt he loved his brothers and sister, and I would imagine that all of you have stories just like this that probably could go on for hours. The eternal kingdom is where we're headed if we have a relationship with Messiah Yeshua. But more than having a relationship with Messiah Yeshua, we have to understand this. The kingdom that's to come is for those that also Yeshua can say, I had a relationship with you. See, that's why it's so important to get beyond the, well, I've professed Jesus as my Savior. I've professed Yeshua. Well, the demons profess that. We have to get beyond that. We have to get to where he has a relationship with us. And a relationship is two ways. If any of you have a good relationship with your spouse, count it all joy. But it takes work both directions. You know that. Mark's life was an example for us to follow. And he lived by many Bible verses, but one that I like, I believe, clearly outlines who he was. Micah 6:8 says, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." See, Mark Dickerman was a true Christian, and Mark Dickerman was a true Israelite. He spoke with passion about his Lord and Savior, and he yearned for others to come to that saving knowledge of Yeshua. He yearned for others to be a partaker of that eternal kingdom that is to come in the very near future. And I think that Mark wanted to leave a legacy. Not a legacy like most people try to leave. We're building an empire of the business world or various other things that are fleeting and will be destroyed overnight. He wanted to leave a legacy that would allow anybody that would have met Mark would understand and know that he was different in some way. Those who took time to get to know him would know that he had a relationship with the Messiah and with the Creator. He was a one of a kind and a very good friend to very many people, myself included. So I told a fib earlier. I've got one closing. I'm sorry. But I am going to close with this. I will not mourn for Mark Dickerman today. I will simply miss him because I know he finished the race strong. Amen. And I believe with all my heart, the next sentence that Mark Dickerman will hear is this: "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share in your master's happiness." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We are humbled that you have invited us to be a partaker in this Shabbat, a day that you set apart from the beginning of time. From the seventh day of creation, you set this day apart as sanctified and holy. And today we are here on this day to meet with you, to glorify you, to give you honor, and to remember a dear brother who brought so much joy to all of us. Father, may the rest of our own egg time, our time of fellowship at dinner, be pleasing in your eyes. May we honor both Mark and you by Father, if we honor Mark, we're honoring you, God. We're honoring you because we're doing the things that you would be pleased with, and that is speaking highly of our brother who brought joy to so many. Father, you've given us so many blessings that we can't even imagine. We live in a land of good and plenty, but there's a lot of corruption here. But it's everywhere in the world, and times are growing darker. But with dark times, you need people to shine forth so that other people know there is a hope and there is a future. And that's what we hope Mark left behind, and that's what we hope that we will leave behind when it's time for you to call us home. I pray that you would be amongst us, that you would work amongst us, and that you would love on us today as we just remember our dear brother and a friend. And we give you thanks and we give you praise, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. And I'm going to leave with the Aaronic benediction. Yevarecha ka Yehovah v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Yehovah p'nav alecha v'hunecha. Yisa Yehovah p'nav alecha v'esem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and bring you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Savior of the world. Amen and amen. Amen.